Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Lauren O'Brien, and she's with MO Makes. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about MO Makes. How are you serving folks?
So we are a video production agency, and we focus on branded content and original entertainment, so commercials and TV shows.
And then how'd you get into this line of work?
Gosh, so it's always funny when you go into a creative industry because you always kind of fall into it. I wouldn't say anyone wakes up and goes, I'm going to be a creative, because your parents tell you you're not allowed. I started with comedy. When I first started out my career, graduated from a very serious drama school. And then I realized there's no money in comedy, especially live performance. And I went, okay, cool. How can I eat? And so I decided, you know, one day I'm going to own my own production company. And I finally did it.
And then so the pivot was, so you were trained as an actress and then you started performing comedy, and then you realized, hey, this is a lot of work and effort, and there's no monetary payoff, so let me pivot into using my creativity in the business world.
Yeah, especially because when you're serving yourself as a creator, you're not really giving anything back to your audience. And when you start giving back, you realize, one, it's more beneficial to the world, you're helping out the world, and two, you're able to, you know, build commerce within the community as well.
Now, when you're taking that tact and you're kind of going from one kind of world of creativity and humor specifically and into the business world, is your video production, is it around comedy and humor?
It does. So a lot of our original content is comedy because that's where my passion and my love comes from. And I didn't realize how many marketing videos need funny in it. Because if you think about the most memorable commercials, a lot of times they make you laugh, like Geico or Skittles, all those wonderful commercials. They bring something out of you because there's such a short amount of time to pay attention to a brand. And humor is one of the biggest factors into creating memorable content specifically. So that's a really good niche that my background seems to be serving right now.
Now, how do you kind of make the bridge from, okay, it's funny, it's hilarious, I'm laughing, and I remember that commercial was funny, to connecting it back to the brand and then making the brand connect with the funny?
A lot of the groundwork is actually done before with the brand. I can't make a brand funny if they're not a funny brand naturally. That's not in their voice. Like, I'm not going to go to a, you know, medical prescription company and that serves antidepressants and be like, well, lol, this is something you can really wake up and giggle with. So a lot of the groundwork's done with agencies or brands before. And we basically just take the voice and we go, okay, who is your audience and how can you connect them on typically like a friend level? Geico does a really great job about it because they seem to go, okay, our brand is usually like middle-aged men. And so they go, okay, it's like you're speaking to your friend. So let's pivot from that voice. What's the product? And then how can we merge the two together? And that's typically where it seems to happen.
Now, do you typically work with agencies and they bring you in as a humor specialist, or do you go right to the brands?
Going to the brands directly is, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Going directly to brands is always a lot easier because there's no miscommunication ever, but we do typically work with agencies and they often provide a great correspondence between the brands directly, especially if they've worked with them over a number of years. It's always great to have someone on your side who is helping communicate what the brand needs. But I love working directly with brands because there's nothing gets misconstrued or missed, or you can just hear from them directly saying exactly what they want.
Now, when you're playing in the world of comedy and humor, that's kind of, especially in today's day and age, there's a lot of landmines. And what's hilarious to one group of people could be repulsive to another group of people. And not only that, it could have been funny 5 years ago, and now it's offensive. How do you kind of thread that needle?
Typically with comedy, I always think, if the person's in the room right now, would I say it to them? And then I think, if, as long as you focus on that, you're not being offensive. Because if you say a joke to somebody and you're okay saying it in front of them, then that's fine. They're able to speak back. But when someone doesn't have a voice and you're making fun of them, then I think that's when it crosses the line. This conversation's come up a lot recently, which is, I think, a good thing, because a lot of times in the past, comedy is bullying. And personally, I don't think bullying's funny at all. I think if you can say it to someone to their face and it gets a laugh and you think they would find it funny, then you're in good stead. But I think a lot of people can be mean, and that's not funny. It's just mean.
Now, do your clients feel like they're taking somewhat of a risk to use comedy as a tactic in order to get their message across?
No. And what's great about that is more brands are coming to us saying, we actually want to make something funny. And I'll sometimes pause and go, why? Like, what is the purpose behind you doing something funny? If you're doing it for the sake of being funny, it's not going to work. People aren't going to like it, and I think you're annoying. But you're coming... A really good campaign starts when there's a really good why behind it. So if you start with a company that is looking for something that is just brand recognition, then you can really push comedy, because you're not promoting a specific product. Because when you need a lot of information in such a short amount of time, people aren't going to remember anything. They're just going to think they got slapped in the face. And then they're going to go, what just happened? So the best thing to do is think, why am I doing this? Am I getting it for brand recognition, audience recognition, or am I doing it to just say, hey, we're here and we're on your side? That's always something to weigh up before you delve into comedy. And a lot of production companies are here to guide you through it. No one's going to make you something that they're not proud to show off, which is how we really operate.
And do you get clients that come to you as like, oh, we want a viral video, you know, and then just tack my brand on at the end? So just make it hilarious. And then, you know, that
happens. And they go like, can you get an influencer into something really funny? And I'm like, we can, maybe. I'm not like someone to say, no, we can't do it. I'll have a pause and think, I'll get back to you. And if I think it's just if there's no purpose to something, audiences really won't care. Especially with viral videos, if it's for a brand, people go, gross, ew, like this was sponsored and you tried to make it look like it wasn't. You can't trick people when it comes to marketing, especially with comedy. Like, you have to be upfront and go, this is going to be a comedy thing, get ready for this. But when you try and trick people, that immediately turns them off, like, completely. But yes, we have had people tell us, please bring us a viral video. And I'm like, I don't try.
Just go to the back of the house and pull together that viral video that's on the shelf and just hand it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That'll be $5.
If it was so easy to make viral videos. Then. Now, so you mentioned kind of this authenticity has to be part of the storytelling. And if the brand already lends itself to some quirkiness or has kind of humor as part of their brand, then that's an authentic kind of reasonable way to tell the story to the people that matter most to the brand, right? So that makes perfect sense. Is it possible then to take a brand that isn't kind of known for its quirkiness or funniness and make a funny video?
Yeah, there is. And it's because humor has such a broad spectrum, just like music. I think about comedy just like music. There's different beats, different notes, different highs, different lows. We had someone come to us about a suicide prevention company, therapy company, and they wanted to introduce humor. And that was really interesting, trying to come up with a pitch that was hitting to people who need help the most, but need that little bit of an uplift to say, okay, we're on your side. We've got you. We're not here to make this such a serious, drab topic, especially when something can be in denial. So that was really interesting. So I think, yes, you can, but you have to be very sensitive to who your audience is. And again, don't make fun of people, but act as if you're speaking with them and give them the chance to respond as an audience while they're watching.
Now, in the marketplace, are there a lot of competition for kind of a humor-first production company?
There are. In Atlanta, I'm not really sure. I feel like we are one of the few, I don't know of any female-led comedy production companies in the South, which is awesome for us because, you know, it gives us a wonderful niche. But around the country, there definitely are. I think a lot of comedians ended up moving more into production because they realized, oh, you get hired as a writer from a lot of agencies. A lot of comedians typically move into marketing because it's such a great niche for them. But in the South, I think we have a wonderful little niche down here, which is really great.
Now for you personally, is this kind of scratching that itch still, or do you still perform?
That's why we've started moving into original content, because I took a pause on comedy for a while because I was in London for about 10 years doing comedy, just pure comedy, TV development, stand-up, which was great. And then I moved back to Atlanta, and the scene here is not as thriving as London's an international city. Atlanta's a wonderful city, but it's not as big as London. So I went, okay, I'm only going to focus on, you know, marketing, production. And then I was sad. So I realized, okay, how can I create what I do while also doing marketing videos? And it was blending those two that really gave me life back and gave me purpose, which is really awesome. But we started doing our own original content, which is our 2020 venture. And we're very excited to launch at the end of this year.
And then is that going to be long form, short form, or am I going to see you on TikTok? Like, where is this stuff going to be available?
It's going to be a mix of everything. So we're doing a feature right now. We're going to be doing an online web series, and then we're going to start doing more short form content on Instagram and TikTok. TikTok, I'm still afraid to get on because it's filled with a bunch of wonderful teenagers, and I'm still scared of teenagers, even from my years of high school.
So do you wish that you were in high school when TikTok came out?
Yeah, I think that would have been like my ultimate dream, because both me and my co-founder, we used to do videos separately. It was great. When we met, we both realized we had the same experience growing up. We'd make silly videos with our friends, and that's what gave us our love for production. So if I could have had TikTok when I was a teenager, I think I would have been a TikTok star.
Now, any advice for that creative person whose parents maybe aren't as supportive and saying, you know, get a real job? Like, how would you kind of coach them to, you know, kind of create something that's fulfilling for themselves, but also that pays the bills?
Yeah, that's always been a big dilemma with a lot of the creatives I know. I was very fortunate. My parents were super supportive. They never told me to get a real job. They were like, you can do anything you want. And I kind of wish they did. But you have to fail on your own, which is awesome. So the biggest advice I would give to someone if they didn't have support is don't just go cold turkey. Wean yourself into it and prove to yourself that you want to do something, rather than rebel into, I am going to just throw my life away, but I'm just going to, you know, leave my life and do something and prove something wrong to you. Prove something different to you. Because if you don't do something for yourself, if you're doing it to prove a point, then you're never going to be successful. You're only doing it out of anger. So take baby steps, create content yourself. Creating content can be free. We all have phones. We all have local coffee shop. Well, not at this time. You can't perform at this time live, but you can record on your computer. You can get your friends to create stuff together. You can write, you can play music. Do something yourself and see if that's going to fulfill you. Don't just jump straight into it to say that you're doing something to prove a point.
Now, there's a lot of creative people out there, and they feel like they're creative and they aspire to be, you know, in the arts, but it's hard for them to take that step to actually publish. How do you help them get over, or how would you kind of coach them to get over that fear of publishing and putting the work out there for the world to see?
Yeah. I think the number one thing to remember is nobody knows what they're doing. Everything is completely subjective. So if you don't get your work out there, no one can see it. No one can see what you're doing. You can't get better. You can't learn how to do it. Your first couple things you do aren't going to be the best couple things that you do. So put them out there, learn from it, grow. And if someone doesn't like it, then that's okay. Someone else will probably love it. That's what's wonderful about art, is it's completely subjective. And as long as you are proud of it, get it out there, show it to everybody that you know, and then you can keep moving and keep moving forward.
And then I think comedians, especially stand-up, they get the feedback instantaneously, and that helps you create the art, right? Like the more you're out there and you learn, okay, this is working, this is not working, let me do more of this. And then soon, you know, you're getting an act that has all the funny parts that you've slowly iterated over time. But it takes that time, that first time, to go out there and fail publicly. Yes. In order to know where the good stuff is.
Yeah. And what's great about comedy is it isn't as personal as you think. People used to say, wow, you're so brave. And I was like, I'm not brave. People really don't care who I am, which is the greatest bit about it, is they just are, people are looking forward to coming to a comedy night to hear some funny things. So if you just give them some wonderful stories that you would tell your friends in a pub, then you are going to soar and be super successful. As long as you're just thinking about it less like jokes and more like stories, then you can never fail, because you just tell something from start to finish and then that's successful. But if you tell punchlines, I feel like you're setting yourself up for either a roaring laughter or a very silent reaction.
Now, was that difficult for you to, like, when did that light bulb come on to not take this personally?
I think it came, I did a tour, my first ever show I took on tour around the UK. And because you're by yourself, a lot of a comedy tour isn't glitz and glam. You usually have your producer and yourself, and that's it. And so after every night, I was wondering, why am I doing this? Like, what if somebody doesn't love this? Or if I had a bad review, like, they don't love me. And you can't think like that. It's like a musician doesn't think that their songs are just who they are. It's a performance. And as soon as you realize that, you can be braver and you can take more risks. So I think it was during that tour, and it was in that loneliness, that you realize this is a performance. I am an artist. I am a character, and this is who I am. And that gave me more opportunity to be brave in my choices and start playing more, rather than going, oh, I hope people like this personal story about mine. It's like, no, just like play, enjoy. Otherwise you're going to lose your mind.
And that happens in the comedy world.
That's, yes, a lot.
Because it is so personal. I mean, you're standing up there alone. There's no, you know, kind of band around you to hide, and you're not playing the same song that you played 20 years. Like, it's all kind of new stuff every time. And you're putting yourself out there, telling a lot of times real stories, or parts of you at least. And I mean, I can see how it could become personal for some people.
Yeah. And it definitely does. Like, it's a fine line, but if you don't start thinking about it like more of a character and a performance, you're just going to, one, lose material. You're not going to have any more material to come across, because a lot of people borrow stories from other people and they make it their own, which is amazing when you realize, oh, that story isn't that someone's personal story. It's something they heard or borrowed or they made up. That was always such a funny moment when you tell a story and then afterwards someone goes, wow, I can't believe all these crazy things happened to you. And you're like, Yes, it's exactly what my life is, and none of this is made up, and you are definitely right.
Yeah, there was a comedian, Gary Goldman, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he does a bit on abbreviations of states, and that he said he saw a documentary about how they came up with the two-letter abbreviations of states in the U.S., and that's all made up. There's no documentary, but he needed that to be the whole premise of the like, that was the crux of the joke, was that he watched that. And that was kind of an epiphany for him to say that it doesn't have to be real. Like, I can make this up. It's okay.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's like magic when someone goes, what do you mean this isn't real? Comedy and magic are the same thing.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations on all your success. It sounds like you're really fulfilled in doing what you do. You're so passionate, and you're really trying to kind of bring humor into an area maybe that needs a little bit more of that.
So we're looking forward to doing.
So now if somebody wanted to get on your radar and learn more about what you're up to, is there a website?
Yeah. So if you go to momakes.com, there's all our contact details. There's some of our stuff. And we're always happy to work with new people because we're a new company. We've been around. We opened last year. And so we're just getting to know the city a bit more and making wonderful connections with some people who are looking to make some wonderful work.
Then how could we help you? Like what's the ideal profile of somebody to work with here in town?
Either an agency who has brands that they're looking to create, especially comedy material with, or brands who are looking to just make some new content out there, especially during 2020. We've started navigating on how to create content that isn't just filming, because you can't necessarily film at this time without a certification, which we are very lucky to have received. So anybody who's really looking to level up on their brand, middle-sized companies, large companies, even small companies who are just starting out looking to invest in video messaging and video marketing.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.